This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's weekly news and current affairs show, covering our stories from our perspectives.
Hello, good evening and welcome to The Informer, and thank you very much to Simon for that very, very informative little news break. We'll be covering off on a couple of the stories that he mentioned in tonight's show. My name is Toby Halligan. Tonight we'll be covering off on Labor's new policy to end gay conversion therapy, a policy that it now looks the Coalition may offer perhaps tepid support for as well. We have a look at the way LGBTIQ plus veterans celebrate Anzac Day and hear some of the experiences of members of our community when they served, including from Noah Reisman, whose book Serving in Silence has documented a number of rich and fascinating stories. And we get some more detail on the major election promises from Labor, the Liberals and the Greens. But to kick things off, as the federal election campaign continued, it was a week of big announcements for the LGBTIQ plus community. The Coalition announced $2 million in funding for counselling service QLife. In announcing the funding promise, Health Minister Greg Hunt noted that demand for QLife services had steadily increased over the past 4 years and that there had been a 20% increase in calls in 2017. The Coalition has also promised the National LGBTI Health Alliance $4 million over 3 years to provide awareness training to ageing and aged care providers and workers. Mr. Hunt also said that Mind Out will receive $36 million from 2019 to 2021 for its suicide prevention program, and that Black Rainbow had received funding to develop culturally appropriate Indigenous LGBTIQ information materials to support healthcare settings. In another welcome policy development, on Tuesday, the Federal Labor Party promised to ban gay conversion therapy if elected. The promise was announced by the Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus, and I spoke to Mark about Labor's new policy, but it's worth acknowledging first that the push for these new laws has taken a lot of work from a lot of very dedicated people. Last year, a report published by the Human Rights Law Centre revealed that gay conversion therapy was alive and well here in Australia. The report, called Brave, Not Broken, was accompanied by interviews with survivors of gay conversion therapy that were produced with some help from myself and a number of other people. So to set some context on the precise impact that gay conversion therapy can have, here are a couple of excerpts from those interviews. You're going to hear from two people in this story. The first voice you'll hear is Mitch Gaines, and the second is Anthony Menchetti, as they discuss the impact that gay conversion therapy had on them.
Hi, my name is Mitch. I grew up in the Charismatic Pentecostal Church in Australia, and I spent probably about a year to 18 months going through some form of reparative therapy or gay conversion therapy.
I went to a gay conversion school in Perth at a church called Riverview. The impact that it had on me was highly damaging because I kind of lost myself.
You essentially get this message that you received implicitly as a child, kind of growing up in the church, that your nature is an abomination.
When you're in a world among fellow humans and all the humans say, no, you're not acceptable, it's damaging beyond repair.
These urges are demonic, that there's actually the devil and demonic spirits that are possessing you or tormenting your mind to make you think that you're gay.
Very, very challenging stuff, though. Fortunately, with work from the various political parties that have been making promises on these issues, it will hopefully be something from the past. There are a number of challenges when it comes to regulating gay conversion therapy, though. I spoke to the Shadow Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, on Tuesday and asked him how Labor's ban on conversion therapy would actually work.
Yeah, we've been very clear about this. A shortened Labor government will end the practice of so-called LGBTIQ conversion therapy. We want to work with survivors and advocates on a range of strategies that would end this. It's really an insidious practice, and that will include a nationwide ban.
And what form does that ban take?
It's something that will need to be worked through at COAG, that is the joint federal-state meeting that takes place from time to time, because part of this, we think, will involve state legislation, but part of it will involve those parts of the health system that the Commonwealth is responsible for, to make sure that no medical practitioner could be involved in this, that no counsellor could be involved in it, that no part of the health system would in any way support this so-called therapy.
And what kind of punishments would you be envisioning for people who engage or attempt to implement gay conversion therapy?
I think that's something that we need to work through. I think a ban comes first, and it's very clear that nobody should be subjected to what are painful, unnecessary and harmful, in effect, pseudo-scientific practices. Whether there's a direct punishment that's needed, given that the people that are pretending to carry out this form of so-called therapy are all professionals, they're people who would see themselves as practitioners of something or other, it ought not perhaps be necessary to impose any direct penalty. But again, if there's any evidence that the practice is continuing after a ban is in place, then penalties will have to be considered.
I remember I was involved with producing some content for the Human Rights Law Centre around their report on gay conversion therapy. And one of the things that came quite clearly through from that was that one of the most challenging elements that people who had experienced it was the stigma around being gay, the culture around gay conversion therapy being what was so pernicious. Do you think there's scope for measures, whether it's education programs and the like? Would Labor consider supporting other measures like that to actually try to deal with some of the cultural elements around these practices?
Oh, very much so. And that's why our announcement today made it clear that we weren't just talking about a ban. We were talking about national leadership. That's why when I gave a press conference today about this, I was very clear that it's up to Scott Morrison, as the current Prime Minister, to lead nationally and to commit to leading nationally, because both sides of politics, not just Labor, need to be very clear that this is a dreadful practice, that it should end, and not only should we have a ban, we should be working with survivors on other strategies, including the one you mentioned, which is a sort of communications or education strategy. It's something that we need national leadership on. Political leaders need to speak out against it, and it should never occur again in Australia. That was the point, I think, that was made by the excellent report by the Human Rights Law Centre. Anna Brown, I think, worked on that as well. And it's multifaceted, if I can put it that way. It's not just a matter of a simple ban. It's about working with anyone involved in this, working with any groups that support it to make it clear to them that it has to stop and why, working with people who have survived this so-called therapy, and making sure that they don't suffer any lasting ill effects as well.
That was Mark Dreyfus, the Shadow Attorney General, explaining Labor's policy on gay conversion therapy. It is 7:12 p.m. here on Joy. You are listening to The Informer. So it's relatively clear what Labor's policy is, but it's less clear what the Coalition's position is. On Tuesday, Scott Morrison was asked on Sky News for his response. Here is what he said.
Well, I don't support gay conversion therapy. I don't recommend it, never have, but it's ultimately a matter for the states. See, I think we should focus on the things that we actually have control over, and that's taxes. I'm looking to lower taxes. Now, state and territory governments determine those matters, and if they choose to do that, well and good for them. As I say, I'm not a supporter of those therapies, never have been. But what we need to focus on is what the Prime Minister would need to focus on, and that is lowering taxes for Australians and small businesses to ensure that we're creating 1.25 million new jobs, that the dividend of the stronger economy that we're managing is invested back into our record funding on hospitals and schools and roads. And of course, we've got lower taxes, which means we've got the budget back in surplus, which means we can pay down Labor's debt and we keep Australians safe and secure, particularly our borders.
Not entirely clear what the Prime Minister's position is there. We'll find out in a few minutes, though, that the Coalition has attempted to clarify some of its positions. You are listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast.
To get a clear picture of what the likely impact of Labor's gay conversion therapy policy is, I spoke to Anna Brown, who is the head of Equality Australia and was heavily involved in the Human Rights Law Centre's report that was released last year.
I think it's really fantastic that we're seeing federal Labor acknowledging and recognising the harm caused by conversion therapy to LGBT people of faith, committing to playing a leadership role and to actually ending these really damaging practices is really incredibly welcome and fantastic news for our communities.
In terms of the ban, Scott Morrison's response has been that it is a state issue. He said he opposes it, but that it's a state issue. What's your response to that?
I think it's clear, and for those that have read our report, there's a role for both the federal and state governments to play in developing legislation, policies and programs to really tackle this problem. It really does require, if we're going to tackle it seriously, both state and the federal governments stepping up, working together, reforming health regulation, specifically prohibiting these practices, and then doing all the education, research and awareness raising that needs to happen to achieve the cultural change from within those faith communities. So absolutely there's a role for the federal government and the state government.
My recollection is one of the findings of your report was that the culture around gay conversion therapy was particularly harmful, that the repeatedly being told that your sexuality is wrong and can be changed was really where a lot of the hurt comes from. What kind of measures can Labor introduce, or can any government introduce, that would actually begin to deal with those kinds of cultures?
Clearly, the law is only part of the solution. So what we recommended in our report that our government should adopt is investing in research to better understand what these practices look like in particular faith communities, the prevalence and nature of trans conversion therapy, for example, and the specific issues there. And it's only then that we can really start to develop tailored interventions and specific programs that can help educate and turn around some of the practices within these communities. Because, you know, some of it's taking place in a more formalised medical setting, but the vast bulk of conversion practices and the harm that's done in communities is sort of the ideology and messaging within faith communities, and that's happening in churches and faith communities across Australia. And we can't be relying on, you know, health and medical regulation to really change those practices. We need to be getting in there, talking to and establishing dialogue with faith communities. And I think there's hopefully a really large group of people in those communities that when they learn of the harm that these practices cause, the deep and lasting psychological harm that's, you know, it's taking lives from within LGBT people of faith, and that when they learn of that harm, that they'll start to rethink pastoral care for LGBT people within their circle so that they're accepted as whole and human instead of sick and broken.
Because there are practical problems, aren't there, with making some of these practices illegal in terms of, as you say, the informal nature of a lot of these practices. Is there a risk of either, my concern is either you create laws that by their nature are so broad they don't capture a lot of the practices that are most harmful, or laws that overreach potentially. Is that something you're concerned about?
Yeah, I think we have to be really careful about the way these laws are developed, and most of the jurisdictions that have legislated have targeted young people and minors, and I think it makes a lot of sense to bring in the full force of the law when we're talking about essentially child abuse and young people that can't make an informed decision about what sort of treatment or what sort of, you know, even if it's not a real medical therapy, what sort of practices they're being exposed to by their parents or by other people around them. We really need to protect children. When it comes to adults that are sometimes seeking out and joining informal religious groups, I think there's a different question there. I mean, because we can't always, and it's not right to protect or to stop adults from engaging in practices, even if they are harmful. We let people do things all the time that might be a bad decision or might cause them harm, but that's part of having autonomy and self-determination as a human being. And exercising in this instance, sometimes your freedom of religion and freedom to practice, even if it's something that can be deeply harmful. So it's about taking a really sensitive and nuanced approach to those sorts of scenarios. And in our report, we recommended that as soon as a therapist or a practitioner that's regulated by the state is involved, that's where it's appropriate to draw the line and outlaw, formalised therapies and practices. But when it comes to people gathering in groups to, pray the gay away or making their choice to involve themselves in discussions within their communities that they're seeking out themselves, I think we need to also respect people's own autonomy, and that's where education plays a really important role.
Are there also questions perhaps about where religious organisations that are engaging in those kinds of practices, practices that have quite clear harms for the LGBTIQ plus community, are receiving taxpayer dollars? Is there a question there for whether or not that's appropriate?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. If there's taxpayer dollars funding particular institutions where churches are receiving public money, there should be some kind of line of accountability there to make sure that public money isn't perpetuating harm and discriminatory conduct against LGBT people. You know, we just need to look carefully at, and this is why more research is required really, to look at what's going on in particular faith communities, what do these practices look like, what is the sort of conduct that's appropriate to be regulated and captured by the law, and where do you, ultimately strike that balance between protecting people from the harm, respecting their own autonomy and freedom of religion.
That was Anna Brown from Equality Australia.
You're listening to The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast.
It's worth noting that just today it's emerged that the coalition perhaps has a more nuanced position than the Prime Minister indicated on Tuesday. In response to questions Equality Australia submitted to all the major parties on a whole variety of policy issues, the coalition responded thusly with reference to gay conversion therapy. The statement said, "The use of conversion therapy has long been discredited with no scientific or medical evidence to support its use. The Morrison government remains committed to addressing the mental health of all Australians, including the LGBTI community, and this also relates to opposition to gay conversion therapy." The coalition statement continues, "The government will work with the states, which have legal responsibility in this area, to ensure such practices are not supported or occurring." The Informer approached both the Health Minister and Prime Minister for interviews. Sadly, neither was available.
This has been The Informer. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and review on iTunes. It helps others to find the show.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.